Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Lift your hands toward heaven and talk to the Father again from the depths of your heart. I know you have been here for quite a while. I know you've been here for hours. But I also know that Moses started much longer than you did, or you have done. And if Moses had enough chamber to receive for 40 days, then 12 hours is child's play. So ask him to fill you afresh. Ask him. Berikabone haliada baharis, kadana shadia, hila kazo sevele, shina dahali gazonzo. Baragi la hazori ya la baranda kira. Mariga bando sepre kadila hadia na zaba. Zezezezina. We hail you. We worship you. We hail you. Most High, we hail you, we worship you, we hail you, Most High.
I want to share with us briefly this evening, but before I begin to open the scriptures, there's someone the Lord is investing the weight of His presence upon. There is a tangible dimension of the presence of God He wants to give as a token because of the intensity of your hunger. So there is an investment of God's presence. And so right now, the angel of the presence. You help them so they are not injured. The angel of God's presence will put his hand upon you when he speaks to one, he speaks to all. Because when he brings one a dimension, he makes it available to the clan. And the presence of God is the government of God's presence. And so from the left to the right, from the front to the back, that dimension, that grace that brings the government of God to bear. We hail you. We worship you. We hail. We give you praise, we give you glory. We honor you. We extol your majesty. Take all the praise. Take all the glory. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Please sit down for a moment. When God calls His people and summons them to a holy convergence, there is always a specific purpose in the heart of God. A conference is not just a conference because we gather. the impact and the import of a conference is realized when the ministers are able to find the mind of God for his people, and that which he purposed in his heart before summoning that holy convergence. So when we come for a conference, we just don't come to manifest because we have graces and gifts. When we come for a conference, the requirements and the qualifications of ministry by grace and by mercy, what the Bible calls being made able ministers, gives us access to the heart of God to find out what he has for his people. And it's our ability to tap into the heart of God and to download what he has for his people that makes a conference impactful, makes a conference relevant in the agenda of God. A minister doesn't just come to a conference to manifest gifts or graces because he's graced. He comes to a conference to do that which the Holy Ghost has in mind. Because sometimes when a conference like this is called, there are few people that God wants to occasion a visitation in their lives in order to start a specific assignment. Sometimes when a conference like this is summoned, God wants to address the spirit in the territory. He doesn't even want to talk to the people. But there is a required quorum that can download the government of God in order to address territorial spirits. So God can call a conference, people gather. He is dealing with the gods in the land. And there are times when God calls for a conference like this, and what he's interested to do is to fine-tune the people and to restore alignment to their heart so that they are not disqualified for what he wants to do in the days to come. So our duty as ministers is to find out what is in the heart of God and to bring his counsel to his people so that at the end of the conference, we don't just appear as very special ministers, but what God wants to achieve in the lives of the people and in the territory is actualized. And in case you are not aware, the spirits are already perceiving what God wants to do. And that's why there is agitation in the demonic realm. But many times it's unfortunate that even the ministers don't know what God wants to do. So they just come to a conference and bamboozle people, do all kinds of things, and the purpose of God is not achieved. That's why I tell people most times, God doesn't necessarily need a miracle service to heal the sick. God doesn't need a prophetic service to give direction. But every time God calls his people, he has an agenda in his heart. So even if you are a worker of miracles, or you are a prophetic minister, don't be carried away by your gift. Find out what is in the heart of God. You can come for a conference and God says, sit down, let me talk to you. And he will talk to everybody and say, go home. And the conference will be achieved. When we gain maturity, these are the things we do. And we must encourage people not to pursue the things God can give, but to pursue God himself. Because he said, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. That the man is a revivalist does not mean every time he shows up there will be fire. That a man is a prophet does not mean every time he shows up there will be word of knowledge. That a man walks in the healing anointing does not mean every day is a miracle service. There are days where God wants to talk to our spirits. I said this to prepare your mind because God wants to talk to your spirit. So open your heart, get your pen and paper, take instructions that will help your life. Because there is an assignment for Ghana, and you must be a part of it. Are we together? You must be what? A part of it. And like I always say, it is better when we are younger. It's more glorious when you start doing mighty things for God at a tender age. Imagine how beautiful it will look when God invests so much wisdom to a 15-year-old, and the 15-year-old is bringing the counsel of God. Imagine how glorious it will look if a 17-year-old should become a national evangelist and pack out the national stadium and is healing the sick and bringing glory to God. It will inspire a whole nation. But when you see a 50-year-old doing it, you can just say glory to Jesus and go home. That's why you have seen Duncan Williams do a lot of things and you say it's glory to God. You have seen Bishop Aginasari do a lot of things, you say glory to God. The day you see a 17-year-old do it, you won't sleep. You will go home and say, Lord, it's either you kill me or you use me for your glory. You see that Howard Mills do a lot of things and you say, it will give God thanks. When a 20-year-old packs stadiums, you now discover you are late. That fasting you don't want to fast, you will start fasting. Those women you touch in the dark and you think you are nobody see you, you will go and repent on your own because you will discover that a spirit has made a fool of you. You think you are smart. You woo them, you chat in the night. In the realm of the spirit, that thing you are doing in the closet, there are over 1 million just men made perfect looking at you. And then what you don't know is that maybe you were to walk in the lineage of Paul in the spirit. And everybody that have carried the Pauline mantle, when they look at you, they weep. Because they know this generation is bereaved and bereft of the grace that should serve it. But you thought you were smart with women. You are a smart man. The day that warriors are numbered in Zion, that's when you discover you walked through time, but you didn't exist. You will be blown off like a speck of dust. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. And so, last night we began to consider this very important subject, the unity of the faith. And the first thing the Lord began to help us to understand is that there is so much we cannot achieve as individuals, even if we became giants, as it were, in the things of the Spirit. When you start pressing into God and pursuing God, you will assume erroneously that if only God were to put his hand on you, you will deliver your nation and bring glory to him. That's very beautiful and is an honorable prayer and desire. But when the Lord begins to use you mightily and you start journeying in the things of the Spirit, you will discover that there are certain things that, according to divine intelligence, is not wielded to individual to carry out. There are certain things that can only be achieved at the level of a quorum. There are certain things that can only be achieved when addressed as a body, not as an individual. And so when you discover that too many things cannot be handled by individuals, but until we assemble together as a corporate persona, your bodies will begin to enlarge as you grow in the things of the Spirit. Your prayer will not just be, God, anoint me. You will now see the need to pray for your brother to stand. You will see the need to pray to God to bring a visitation to the land. You will see the need for others to be as anointed as you are and for others to grow in the things of the Spirit, because there is too much to do that one man may never be able to do. In my country and across Africa, We saw a general of the faith that traveled all the way across many seas to come preach Christ. And he had a vision that he will bathe Africa with the blood of Jesus, and that the nation and the continent will come under the government of the cross. And for almost all his life, he walked through the rugged terrain of Africa, preaching the gospel of Jesus in purity and in blazing holiness. So much grace was released unto him. It was in his crusades that we saw the possibility of millions of people gathering, not once, not twice, but consistently for more than 5 decades. It was in his crusades that cripples walked as though it was a buffet. The great patriarch Reinhard Bonnke. But with the mighty works that he did, there is still so much to be done in Africa. So when you look upon such graces that have walked the landscape, you will see that one man can never be enough. As mighty as God can make one man. We saw Moses rose so much in rank that with his staff he brought down Egypt. But when Israel began to grow, you discover that Israel needed 70 elders to teach Israel the ways of God and to bring them the teachings of the Torah so that men can grow in stature. A point will come where you will realize individual anointings will never be enough. We must rise up as a corporate persona to bring a witness that can address territories. That's why Jesus was praying. He said, whenever two or three are gathered in my name, when he was teaching them about the strongest form of prayer that can be understood in spiritual equation, it's not a prayer done by one man. He said, when two or three of you gather in my name, whatever you bind on earth, the prayer that moves the heavens at will, is not prayed by an individual. Once and again, an individual can pray and the heavens open. But every time a quorum is assembled, the heavens must move. He said, whatever you bind on it, not once, not twice, whenever you gather, if you are two or three, whatever you bind on earth, he said, it shall be bound in heaven. Because the greatest power is not resident with an individual. It's resident in a quorum. It's resident in the body. That's why, as much as we honor the individual generals that God raised, we have more regard for the body of Christ. As much as we honor the individual anointings that men carry and the dimensions of grace that they manifest, we have more regard for the body of Christ. It is on this wise that the necessity of understanding the unity of the faith becomes a cardinal subject in this strategic season where God is about to raise another generation. You know, when God wants to raise a generation, 3 things, amongst others, happen. The first thing that happens is that God begins to bring encounters to the army and to the new generals that he wants to enlist. The reason is because the things that the patriarch knew that gave them so much power with God, it will be impossible for them to exhaust it through teaching. Because, like I told you yesterday, too many spiritual things cannot be communicated by words. Words are too limited. In the spirit, the way things are taught is that they are photographed. So when the spirit wants to introduce you to a realm and to a dimension, the easiest way it does it is to give you an encounter. So when you see it, you become it. That's why he said, when we shall see him, we shall be like him. Because it's like a photocopy machine. If you wanted to write everything in the book, you can't do that in a minute. It's too much. But when the light passes, everything on the original document appears on the plain sheet, and it becomes a replica image of the original. So when God wants to bring a generation into enlistment, he gives them an encounter. The reason is because what he did to the fathers that made them what they are, even though they have taught for 50 years, they can't exhaust it. So in order for you to step into the shoes of the fathers, he will give you the same encounters that he gave the fathers, so that you can know what they know and walk where they walked. So when God wants to begin a walk with a new generation, he gives them encounters. But you see, encounters don't just happen. There's an energy level where encounters happen. That's why when a move of God begins, so much praying, fasting, and consecration is required.
so that everybody can come to the mountain of God where encounters are possible. Because a mountain is actually an energy level in the spirit. If that doesn't happen, there will be a vacuum in the spirit. And the same fathers you are insulting today, when they leave, if nobody fills their gap, that's when you will see the white beast. When the white beast appears, you will pray and long. You see why we honor people when they have died? Because it's when they die that you notice there is a gap that they covered. So instead of focusing on insulting fathers, better pay the price to receive the encounters that made them. Because their being here is a blessing. Even if they are no longer preaching, there is a gate that they mount. If they leave it, we are in trouble. All these young people, these persons, you are joking. You are joking. When he leaves, when Dr. Williams leaves, that's when you will discover you will need 400 intercessors to be able to do what he does in one night. You will repent. You will repent a million times. That's why I said, don't judge a servant. Allow his master to judge him. Because even God knows the error that you are seeing. What you owe them is prayer, not to correct them, because you have not come to where they are. You know, if you are earning 2,000 naira, you can be telling everybody they are reckless with money. When we give you 1 million, you will discover that you don't know about money. You don't. That's why you will know that money is not just a medium of exchange. You will now know that money has a spirit. But with 2,000 naira, you can't know the spirit of money. So you are still with your 5-man cell, and then you are talking to a man that has churches in 50 nations, a man that has 10,000 pastors, a man that controls billions and presidents bow to. You don't know the power that operates at that level. All you should do is pray for them and trust God to have the encounter that made them, so that when they leave, there will be no vacuum in the spirit. So when God starts raising a generation, he gives them an encounter, because the fathers were made by encounters. Number two, when God begins to raise a generation, he gives them dealings, because there is a process that is required for them to be able to wield the powers of the ages to come. Power and authority can come to you because you are born again, but wielding those scepter will take a lot of dealing. That's why even though all of us are born again, demons don't go out when all of us call the name of Jesus. Should I continue? Are you learning something? To wield authority, you must qualify, because it's when your obedience is complete that you can avenge all disobedience. So you will go through process and dealings. When you run away from dealings and process, what you have done is that you have disqualified yourself. Even if the most accurate prophet pour a drum of oil on you, you will go nowhere. Because God must furnish his men for them to be able to do the work that he has for them. That's why he said that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good works. If there is no process, there can be no ranking. So if a generation refuses the requirement of process, God can't trust them. Because God is ancient of days. He knows this business. That's why the foundational parable of scripture is the parable of the sower. And when you read the parable of the sower, it's warfare from beginning to the end. It said the trees that fell on the wayside that were taken by the birds. He said, when the devil comes, he takes the word from them. That's warfare. The seeds that were on rocky shore and the sun came out and scorched them because they didn't have root in themselves. That was warfare. That means warfare is the foundation of our walk in the spirit. If you have not attained power in the realm of battle, it means you are not qualified for the master's job. There will be warfare around your emotion. There will be warfare around your thought pattern. There will be warfare around your finances. There will be warfare around everything. So for God to equip you to be able to wield power, so that you don't use power to self-destruct or to destroy his body, he will carry you through a lot of process. Many times, you will hunger and thirst. And even though you pray for others, God gave them money, you will not have money. The same anointing that gave money to others, you will have that anointing, but you will walk in poverty for a long time. God wants to tame your appetite and to give you stamina. Because when he gives you power, you may become you will satisfy your lust every time. Because you have not known how to abase. You only know how to abound. You don't know how to abase. So you can't walk in power. So he will keep you there for a season. A point will come where sometimes God will allow people to accuse you. You will try to tell everybody you are right. The more you try to say it, the more the heat of the accusation will go on. So you come and say, but when you now try, they now say you are arrogant. That's why you are trying to be right by all means. So your bid to try to defend yourself will worsen the situation. And God will fold his hand. You will go through that crisis for 1 year. It is in that crisis that you will now calm down. And you will go back to the closet and say, Jesus, help me. Help me. Your prayer point will change. You will now say, you are all I want. You wanted many things before. Before, when you come to church, you walk like this. Now, you are all I want. When that 1 year is over, even if people kneel down to receive you in a conference, you will come in like this. Something else. It took 1 year. That one is not Bible school. It's called the wilderness. Because every warrior must pass through the gate of Kadesh Barnea, where princes fall. If you can't pass through Kadesh Barnea, it means the flesh will haunt you in the day of your glory. The powers of the ages to come cannot be committed to you. Before a spirit entrusts a man with power, he tries his heart. That's why Adam was tried. That's why even Jesus himself was tried. If you are the Son of God, it is in the wilderness that trial is a legal tender. You know, in the church auditorium, there are too many intercessors praying for you. So when you hit your leg on a stone, three intercessors come. A prophet comes with word of encouragement. When you go to the wilderness, nobody will remember that you are there. You will be alone. No intercessor will help you in prayer. Even the prophets, they will be blank on your matter. So there will be no encouragement. You will know how to walk through the water and not be drowned. How to walk through the fire and not be burned. Because what God is doing is that he's teaching your hands to war and your fingers to fight. By the time you come out of the wilderness, you will be ready to wield the powers of the ages to come. Many people think that when God wants to commit part to a generation, it's try and lock. That's why they go on Facebook and do all kinds of things. You will post your messages on Facebook, nobody will hear. You will start many fellowships, nobody will attend. Because what makes the difference is the entrustment of his spirit. He invests his credibility upon you. And anything you do, they don't see you, they see that spirit. Because you have been tried by that spirit. You have become a witness of that spirit. And your utterances become a testament of that which that spirit represents in the generation. It's called process. No generation rises without process. Every generation that arises without process is a vagabond generation. The devil will wait for them to be lifted up. And they will bring public ridicule to the name of God. That's why he said, don't exhort a novice. Because when he rises, he will fall into the condemnation of the devil. There must be a place of process. That's why our badges in the kingdom is not the anointing we manifest. It is the scars that we bear in the name of God. He said, I will not forget to tell you about my trials in Asia. How we despaired, even up to death. He said, the verdict of death was upon us. He said, but God used it to teach us how to trust him. Those ones they are lexicons of warriors. When a warrior wants to open his credentials to you, he will show you the path that he wandered into. That's why, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we shall fear no evil, for thou art with us. Thy staff and thy rod, they comfort us. Thou preparest a table for us before our enemies. Our cup runs over. It is a testimony of men that know how to find God in the dark. When everything turned backward, they stood their ground. The reason you see many people today, they bring all kinds of ridicule, is because they violated process. You are not a man of God until your process is able to make you honor God and give him glory, even in pressure. When the money comes, you will stand your ground. God can commit women to your hand. They will be safe. You will not be a wolf in sheep clothing. Because many people on the altar are beasts of reckless wickedness. And in the days to come, God will judge them with fire. Because of the destinies they truncated.
because of the souls they misled, because of the virgins that they disflowered and made it impossible for those people to believe God. God will judge them because many destinies are lost because rebels are on the altar. Without process, no generation will rise. I want to talk to you about the judgment of the ages to come. Because there are many realms where people know God. There are many realms. Some people only know God at the foundation. They only know the God of mercy. When you finish knowing the God of mercy, there is a God called the God of love. When you finish knowing the God of love, there is a God called the God of grace that anoints men. Those are for babes. The realms where men know the true God is the God of terror. It's the knowing the terror of God will command men to repent. If you only know the God of mercy, you have not known Him. If you know only the God of love, you have not known Him. If you know only the God of grace, you have not known Him. Before you can call yourself a kingdom man, you must know the God of terror. The God of terror. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away. Makorade, he said, I saw a great white throne. He said, everybody in heaven and earth, they fell on their faces. That's why he said, having known the terror of God. There are many who don't know the terror of God. They don't know the one that burns like sulfur and brimstone. In sheep clothing. They don't know that the altar and the powers of the cord is an entrustment. Peter said, we that are ministers, we will have a greater judgment because men are vulnerable to us. But if we abuse this, there is a dimension of God that doesn't forgive. He said, even if you call Moses and Samuel, Jeremiah 15 verse 1, I will not hear their prayers. There is a dimension of God. It is for ministers. That dimension does not forgive. Because when you abuse the heritage of God, there is no provision for forgiveness. He said, call Daniel. Call Ezekiel. He said, call Samuel. I will not hear their intercession. The terror of God. Moses cried to him. He said, don't pray to me anymore. You will not enter the promised land. You will not enter. There is a realm where mercy doesn't exist. That's when the jealousy of God is provoked. Because the heritage of God have been sabotaged by gatekeepers. There are prophets in Ghana that have made it a point of duty to abuse damsels and ladies. There are prophets in Ghana that have made it a point of duty to extort money from people. The judgment of God cometh, because the generation will never rise until God judge. Because revival is a verdict from the throne. And until that throne judges, it cannot empower. Who told you there is nothing hid under the sun? The Bible said in Exodus 20:21, Moses stepped into the deep darkness where God was. Even the ladies that seduce men, there is a judgment coming. Because before the revival, there must be a purging. There must be a purging. There must be a purging. And Ghana must receive that purging. Where false prophets will not only be disgraced, but they will be locked away because they have sabotaged the heritage of God. I speak as one sent, as a carrier of the government of God, and I declare an era of judgment over the false prophets of Ghana. We think God is a joker. No, He's not only the God of mercy. He's not only the God of grace. He's not only the God of love. He's also a consuming fire. He's also a judge. The judge, the just one, the just custodian of justice, judgment and equity. There is a dimension of God that doesn't forgive. And that dimension is for ministers. That's why He couldn't forgive Moses. He said, you will not enter the promised land. There is no intercessor that will stop it. You will not enter. And Paul teaching in 1 Corinthians 10:11, he said the things that were written, they were written for us, that we unto whom the end of the age is come. Because he said 23,000 men fell in the wilderness. There's a call for purging. And tonight, we will cry. Because if you don't genuinely repent, the judgment of God will visit your habitation. We say it's a greater Accra, right? The greater Accra must go through fire before they see the glory. Spirits deceive men. They think what they do, no man knows. Who told you men are the judges? The judges of the spirit are immortal. They are immortal beings. He said, this is the decree of the waters. They are holy waters of heaven that judges the affairs of men and keep the gates for Abba. The jealousy of God is what they carry as weapons. I am Gabriel that standeth in the presence of God. I brought you this counsel and you are doubted. Therefore you will be dumb. They are waters of heaven. They keep the jealousy of God to preserve His heritage. And if there will be a move of God in Ghana, then those waters must walk through the landscape. And it's not after many days they will visit Ghana. They will visit your habitation. Because God must divide His servants from the sabotage that are on the altar. This is a window of mercy. Man must cry and ask Him to purge them. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, it's not today that prophets became fake. It was even in the day of Isaiah. But there is a window of mercy. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, and His train filled the temple. And I heard the seraphims cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And He said, one of the seraphims took one of the coals and touched his tongue. There must be a purging. It's either we repent or we are burnt off like chaff before the fires of holy, of the Holy One of Israel. Will be shut down unless the priests are
put off of their filthy garments. There are many voices that will drown, because in the day of God, only Puritans will witness his coming. And judgment will begin from the household of God. Judgment will begin. In the next 10 minutes, those who want to be part of what God is doing, there is a window of mercy. You want to lie down and cry, because you stand not before men, because the immortals are about to step into their sanctuary to receive worship and oblation. But he said he will thoroughly purge the sons of Levi so that they can bring an acceptable offering unto Yahweh. He will purge them by the refiner's fire and by the fuller's hope. Because until that day come, there can be no Ghana in the agenda of God. Rebels, rapists, extortioners cannot preach the gospel of the last day. Only Puritans are qualified to participate in that move of God. The man that can walk with the seraphims of God. Marika Vanda Sevekai, Elilo, Mayanne Balaye, Bakilata Paranda Kayas, Elele Sonaite.
Change
your ways. Because you are part of the iniquity of the sanctuary. But the gate of mercy opens, that men must repent and come from their evil ways. Else you will see the promised land, but you will not enter. Cry to the Lord from the depth of your heart. Mean it and be honest that mercy will find you, because there is a judge coming into the sanctuary, the one that burns with the flames of eternity, the one that thunders over his people in order to preserve his eternal heritage. If we will repent and forsake our evil ways, he will hear from heaven and he will come down and heal the land. So river flow, let it river flow in your church once again. Let it river flow, let it river flow in your church. Once again, let eternity be seen. We are the pure prophets of Ghana. We are the righteous apostles of Ghana. We are the truthful teachers of Ghana. We are the passionate evangelists of Ghana. We are the tender-hearted pastors of Ghana. Arise, for your gates are desolate. Watchers are needed. Warriors are needed. Keepers are needed. Custodians in the spirit are needed. Let it overflow in your church once again. Forget about everybody and ask him for a fresh baptism in the name of Jesus. In that state of repentance, in that state, the Lord will do a baptism of fire.
I will give that command in the spirit. And as it begins, we will stretch in prayers for another 15, 20 minutes. And God's servant will come up. But for some of you, the hand of God will come heavy on you today. And you will not recover until the day you walk out of time. Father! Now, let the fire that purifies, the fire that rests, the fire that consumes the offerings, let it rest now. From the left to the right, from the front to the back, Holy Ghost, fresh, touch, touch, touch.
By the message you just listened to and wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that He died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email on amodiscipleship@gmail.com or reach us on our website, orocomichael.com, to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege to disciple you. God bless you.
Believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For enquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055 +233 26 767 6055 or send an email to info@godswordforus.com info@godswordforus.com.